All right, welcome week 9 NFL degenerates. Your boy Bills, got your boy Horse, as always. I got to pick the music this week after going 8-4, really strong week. The Horse went 7-5, nothing to turn your nose at, but not quite good enough, so I got to pick the music. Went with Eminem, he's my guy, but also going through changes, I thought was fitting this week because there's a lot of NFL teams making moves. If it's either firing people, changing their starters, just the whole nine with kind of what you typically see around the middle of the season. You start seeing teams make some moves that they didn't want to pull the trigger on earlier in the season. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. And then obviously we'll do our picks as always. So first topic is the Thursday night game. Everyone's pretty fired up to see your boy, Johnny Football, Thursday night primetime. What do you think of this move, switching to Manziel?
Well, they're not switching, I heard. But I heard they're just letting him play because McCown is injured. We'll see if that actually keeps going, if he plays well. But I think they'll play well. I'm looking forward to watching the game. I'm pumped. I hope he pulls some Texas A&M shit over Bama. He loves the primetime, obviously, Money Manziel. So I'm looking for a big game from Johnny. Not a big game, but a respectable effort. I think they'll keep it close.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I know it's not a straight-up bench situation. I didn't mean to imply it like that. But I think if there was no controversy at all, I would think that McCown would have gotten the start in this game. He's not – I mean, he didn't practice, but I heard – from what I gather, he's not really – completely hurt. Like, if it was a guy like Roethlisberger or, you know, like a full-on starting quarterback with no controversy at all and a team that absolutely does not want to go to the backup, I think in those situations with the level of injury that McCown has, I think those guys would play. And I think this kind of made it an easy decision for the Browns to go with Manziel because they were like, okay, McCown hasn't been great. He's banged up. I think now is a good time to give Johnny is shot. I think that was part of the thought process. I could be wrong there, but that's kind of the way I interpreted the move. Do you think it was just a straight up McCown's hurt?
Yeah, I heard that they're pretty like they don't want to make any quarterback controversy there, so they're gonna leave McCown in once he's healthy. But I think Manziel, they were talking about on ESPN earlier how he's trying to just prove that he's, like, taking a step forward. And honestly, this is, like, the perfect time to do it. So we'll see if he becomes kind of like a Sanchez or something else. We'll see from Johnny.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Let's say Johnny – this is obviously a crazy hypothetical, but let's say Johnny plays really well. They win this game. They knock off the undefeated Bengals. Do you still think McCown comes back to the starting spot? Because I don't.
No, yeah. In that situation, Johnny is gonna gain the starting spot. But I think that the front office is just saying McCown is our starter to like calm down any Johnny Manziel talk because you know like the stuff with Tebow and with the Jets. I went to a couple games. I'm sure you went to a couple games where they were calling for Tebow mid game. So I'm sure they don't want that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that. They're definitely. From a front office perspective, they don't want to stir up the fans, get a quarterback controversy because a team can't be successful when they're in the midst of a quarterback controversy. Not that the Browns were successful this season so far, just saying McCown's our guy. I mean, they've lost 3 straight. They're 2-6 overall. So I think we're on the same page. I think Manziel has a chance to win the starting job with a good game tonight. That being said, Bengals have one of the better defenses in the league. They're undefeated. They've got a solid pass rush. They can get to the passer with a 4-man rush. They have solid DBs. And Geno Atkins can push and implode the pocket on every play. But that's kind of what Manziel's specialty is getting outside the pocket. So it'll be an interesting situation. But it's not when Manziel started, they played the Tennessee Titans, who haven't won a game since week 1. And he played pretty well. He managed the game, only threw for 172 yards, but no picks. a couple touchdowns. It was a really well managed game for Manziel, but that's a far cry. There's a big difference between at home against the Titans and on the road against Cincinnati. And here's my big thing that's going to be really tough for Manziel: the short week. McCown obviously started last week against Arizona. Now Manziel has to come from a backup role to start against an undefeated team with only 3 days of preparation. I think he's going to be in a pretty tough spot, and I don't think it's a position he'll excel from, and I think they'll end up back with McCown next week.
Back on the bench.
Yeah. All right. So sounds like we're on the same page with Manziel. The front office is trying to keep everything as reserved as possible, but that doesn't mean there's not an opportunity for Manziel if he can play well in this game. Another similar situation, I guess not exactly the same, but the situation in San Francisco with the 49ers, you have players anonymously saying they want Kaepernick benched. Eventually those desires have been realized because Blaine Gabbert's getting the start this week. You have a really interesting situation there because I think it goes beyond just benching your quarterback. I think it's a testament to Kaepernick's ability as a leader when you have your guys anonymously talking to Bleacher Report saying they want you benched. It's a really bad situation for San Francisco. It's a part of a, in general, really a pretty rapid and brutal demise of a team that was in the Super Bowl only a couple of years earlier. And I haven't really ever seen anything like it. Obviously losing Harbaugh and like a lot of their players has contributed to it. But this kind of behavior makes me think you got to put a lot of the blame on Kaepernick. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this season, Kaepernick has not performed to his standards. I mean, he's been struggling the last 2 years. I think losing Harbaugh really put a dampen on his ability to make plays. He's just not as confident anymore. I think Harbaugh pumped him up a little bit, made him like want the challenge from, to go up against other top quarterbacks. But right now, he's just been struggling. He can't throw the ball. He's been running less and less, honestly, and they've been just struggling to move it with their running backs. I mean, Carlos Hyde is one of the top running backs, but if all you can do is run the ball, then you're going to be in some trouble. Blaine Gabbert was a former first-round pick, though, so he's got talent.
Yeah, number one overall to the Jags.
Yeah, so there's something there. I mean, there's something is there. So we'll see if he can find it with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general the Niners are screwed either way. I think this was a move to kind of, I think it was like a Tomasula's like last ditch effort to kind of appease the team and the players. I don't know, like that's typically not something you want to see a coach do because you want your coach, it's kind of what we saw with Terry Collins and Harvey, if they want to make a decision, they should make a decision. They shouldn't let the players tell them what to do because that's not the player's job. And so when you have guys going behind each other's backs, talking to media, saying we want this guy gone, it's a really bad situation. Don't know if Blaine Gabbert is a better option. In fact, I would go as far as to say I think there's no way he's a better option. I know he has some ability, but Kaepernick, the O-line has been getting ravaged. We saw it on primetime against the Seahawks, and then the same thing, like I said, would happen against the Rams happened. They got smoked 27-6. Kaepernick is one of the best, is one of the most mobile guys in the league, and he was getting taken down what seemed to be every play. If you put Gabbert back there, I think that problem just gets exacerbated and you end up in an even worse situation than you were in with Kaepernick.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, Blaine Gabbert, I don't think is going to be able to perform to the level Colin Kaepernick is. I mean, just coming as a backup is tough always. I think they honestly are pretty much done with their season and like shipping out Vernon Davis. I think that they have this new stadium. I've actually heard that a lot of the people in San Francisco are unhappy with it, the move like further away from San Francisco. It's like another hour commute or like 45-hour commute or 45-minute commute. So I think the 49ers organization is in some trouble also.
Yeah, I mean, Shipping out Vernon Davis is another one of the changes that's happened that we were going to talk about. Love that move by the Broncos. Just giving Peyton Manning another weapon is always good. Obviously, he looked a lot better. Just in general, this Niners situation, it seems like I'm with you. It seems like they're tanking, basically. And it's tough in the NFL because it's such a short season that it's tough to watch your team lose week in, week out, especially if you're a fan base who was in a Super Bowl 3 years earlier. So it's tough, but I don't see this move as a attempt to right the ship. I think, to be honest, I just think it's a move that Tom Sula or the organization made because it was, I don't think it was to protect Kaepernick. We saw, I'm not saying it was like Melo with the Knicks last year when they shut him down because they were like, all right, he's a little banged up. We need him. Our season's over. We need him for next year. I'm not saying it's that situation, but I think that I definitely think that they were not trying to win games and save their season by making this move. An interesting move with the Colts. They fire their offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton. I mean, I think I'm not going to say they had to because I actually don't know if I like this move. I know their offense has been struggling, but I think Luck's been playing hurt. And I think the guy they should have fired is Pagano, not Pep Hamilton. I mean, he has a great relationship with Luck from Stanford. And it's not necessarily they obviously had a bad start to the year. But we're talking about a team that had one of the top five offenses in the league the past two seasons before this one. So to fire the guy after eight games when I think the head coach is the bigger problem, I actually kind of disagree with this move.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they were just kind of forced into this move. It was pretty tough. I mean, that loss to the Panthers last week was really tough. I mean, they came back. But in the first half, they were just awful. I think Andrew Luck had 30, 45 yards and three picks in the first half or something like that. One of his worst half, I mean, his worst half ever. So I think they just needed to have almost like a scapegoat and just say, look, we're trying to figure it out. But I think it was too soon. I think Pep Hamilton is a good offensive coordinator. I mean, last year they were one of the better teams in the league, and they were expected to be a good team this year.
A lot of people, they were favorites to win the Super Bowl in a lot of books.
Yeah.
I think Pagano is the problem, not Pep Hamilton. I mean, I know they've been behind and they put up some points in garbage time situations, if you will. But I mean, you know, they scored 33 on the road to Tennessee with Luck. I'm not going to count the Hasselbeck games, but then they scored 27 New England, 21 against the Saints, and then 26 against the Panthers. It's not like they're the highest scoring offense in the league, but they are scoring points. I mean, it's not like against the Jets, they scored 7 points. If you're seeing that week in, week out, I understand it, but you have a coach whose head is on the chopping block already, and we have all indications that he's going to get fired at the end of the season. So I don't understand why you fire your offensive coordinator now instead of just firing your head coach. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that move. Haven't you gotten the understanding? That Pagano is gone at the end of the year.
I mean, definitely gone if they keep going this way. I mean, that was a tough loss last week.
Yeah, I mean, but they've looked like total trash.
The only teams they beat are garbage. I mean, they beat the Titans, Jaguars, and Texans. I mean, one.
And Hasselbeck started two of those games.
Something's up. Luck does not look necessarily healthy, I don't think, either. They were saying that on the GameCast that his arm just doesn't seem to have the zip that he used to have.
Yeah, I saw I think there's no way around it. He's got to be hurt. It was night and day. I don't know what his injury, why this would be due to the injury, but that game against the Panthers, when it was raining, I've never seen a quarterback look worse. And when it stopped raining, he was back – back to being Andrew Luck we've gotten to know over the past couple of seasons. So maybe it was because he can't play. He's gotten too used to the dome in Indy. But I have a hard time believing that he's 100%. But
yeah, I can see him trying to play through an injury.
Which is admirable, I guess. And here's the other thing with the Colts. They're still going to make the playoffs because they're in the division with the Titans, the Jags, and the Texans. So they're 3-5, which obviously isn't good, but they're still tied for first in the AFC South. So, I mean, you never know. You get Luck. Maybe he's a little healthier granted, usually you don't see a guy with a lingering injury get healthier as the season goes on and they try to play through it. Usually it gets worse and worse. But they're probably going to get a chance in the playoffs. And we've seen Luck do some pretty incredible things in the playoffs. So, which is why I think this move is so strange when there was an easy scapegoat in Pagano and they went with Pep Hamilton. Because I think the defense has been a bigger problem than the offense. They gave up 27 to the Bills. They gave up 33 to the Titans. They gave up 34 to the Pats and 27 to the Saints at home. And then 29 to the Panthers. So I don't understand how you – it's this move. It's like I understand something had to go and there had to be a scapegoat. But I think they chose the wrong one. Anyway,
yeah, I can see that.
Next guy who got canned is Ken Wisenhunt, Titans coach. This was a long time coming for me because the Titans have been so bad. They're 1-6 this year. They've lost 6 in a row. They were terrible last year, obviously, second overall pick in the draft. What are your thoughts on them firing Wisenhunt?
Yeah, I mean, the Titans have been really bad. They just picked up Mariota. So they have a glimpse of the future, a glimmer of hope. But honestly, they've been bad for so long. They just need some kind of change in there. Honestly, a new coach, bringing maybe a new playbook for Mariota for maybe next year, looking to the future, would be good to fully create a playbook for Mariota, like tailored to his style. So we'll see if that'll be better. Honestly, Wisenhunt, I don't know much about him, but I mean, I just know that the Titans have struggled greatly for the past 5 years, 6 years, maybe even.
Yeah. This team is so bad. They have not had a 100-yard rusher this season. The first game of the season, Kendall Wright caught 101 yards. Since then, they have not had a 100-yard receiver this whole season. So I guarantee you they're the only team in the league who's only had 100-yard offensive player all season. And it was by 2 yards. 2 yards less receiving, and they haven't had a catch or run for 100 yards this year. That is ridiculous. I mean, that's a mind-blowing stat. Wisenhunt had to go. I'm not surprised at all about this. The Titans have been terrible. Their best bet this year is continue doing what they're doing, keep losing, keep sucking, keep getting pissed on by everyone you play, and try to pick up an Amari Cooper or a Todd Gurley early in the first round. Because if they don't start getting some weapons, it doesn't matter how good Mariota is. And we don't know if Mariota's good, but he's looked like he can play in the NFL, but he's not going to be successful with the weapons they have. I mean, Delanie Walker, Kendall Wright, I mean, Dexter McCluster, it's these guys, it's like, are like not even owned in fantasy leagues. Like, they don't have one player that I would start in a 12-man league on their whole team. You can't win like that.
This week their starting running back is Antonio Andrews, who's been a scrub for, like, hasn't started a game in, I think, his entire career.
It's just, it's a total joke. And that part of it isn't Wisenhunt's fault. Drafting Mariota was obviously the right decision for them because Mettenberger wasn't getting it done. But I think at some point you got to start drafting some skill position guys because even though their defense isn't terrible. They held the Falcons to 10 points 2 weeks ago. They held the Bills to 14 points. You know, their defense can be decent, but they need some weapons. But Wizen Hunt's had time. He's had a year and a half where they've won, I think, four games in a year and a half. So he had to go. Right, that was the right move by the Titans. The next change that was made was the Lions, Cam, their GM, and their president. My take on this is I've been waiting every week for them to fire Jim Caldwell. I don't understand why you fire the GM and you fire the president. Why not just get rid of Caldwell too?
The problem with the Lions is that the entire salary is based on two players. Stafford and Calvin Johnson are more than the offensive line and every running back combined on the Lions, which is absurd.
That's ridiculous. But at the same time, when they paid those guys, I think everyone was praising that move. You had to pay Calvin Johnson. And at the time they paid Stafford, he was a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I definitely see that that side as well. But honestly, they're just performing so bad. I think they're just, again, just looking for a scapegoat, I think, in their situation. A lot of NFL teams will just look to fire like a president or like a GM just to say, oh, these guys put the wrong players on our thing. And that, it wasn't like an organizational problem. It was just like one of these guys' problems. But honestly, the Lions, I mean, they had decent players like Golden Tate. Where's Golden Tate been?
He had a Pro Bowl year last year.
And then Eric Ebron was
Stafford's looked
to be
garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ebron hasn't been great.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like one of the better tight ends, like young tight ends.
We're talking about a top 10 pick. To be honest, even though I'm a Tar Heel, I thought that was a bad draft pick by them. I think that the time that happened was when there was this gold rush of receiving tight ends, and they took the best one went flying off the board because he ran a good 40 time and had ridiculous stats in college. Not that he can't be a good tight end, but I don't think it was, even at the time, I don't think it was one of their chief needs. I think what every team needs to take notes from the Dallas Cowboys, what they've done, bolstering their offensive line is the way you win in this league. You have to have a good O-line. No matter, all things else equal, you have to have a good line. So, if your quarterback, it doesn't matter how good you are, if they're going to the ground every other play, you're not going to be successful. So these teams that have a decent offense should really not try to add another piece, instead bolster their O-line. Because the Cowboys have stayed in games with Brandon Whedon and Matt Castle against teams like the Seahawks just because they have such a good O-line. And that's what we were saying about the Colts last week on the show. The reason they've struggled is because they went out in the offseason and brought in veteran skill position players, and their O-line still sucks. Luck gets hurt. He's getting taken to the turf every other play. And it's a recipe for failure. So I'm not surprised. The Lions, Stafford struggled. Now they're talking about trading Calvin Johnson to a team like the Panthers at one point. I think that they should do that. I think it's in their best interest to clean shop and take the team in a different direction, because they're not any good and they're not going to be good. And one player at wide receiver is not going to help them win. I mean, Calvin Johnson is as good as it gets, but one wide receiver cannot win you football games in the NFL.
Yeah, and he's been a little slower recently also. I mean, he hasn't had his deep ball. Stafford also hasn't been throwing as many deep balls as he used to, but
I don't think he can get time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you watch the games, I mean, he's on his ass like half the time.
I mean, their only win is he threw for a 4 against the Bears, and their only win. Now, that stat I just threw out at you at the Titans, who are 1-6, 1-7, Detroit Lions have also not had a 100-yard rusher, and only in that overtime win against the Bears have they had a 100-yard receiver. Calvin Johnson has caught 100 yards one time all year, and that's the only time a skill position player for them has had over 100 yards. It's no surprise that those two teams have won two games total when you're producing like that on the offensive side of the ball.
It's tough to trade away like a franchise player like Calvin Johnson on the NFL. It happens a lot more in like baseball and other sports, but I mean, it's tough for the NFL because they still want to make money and things like that, so they don't want the entire season to go away. But I think they should. I don't think they will though.
Yeah, just in general, you don't see as many trades in the NFL. But you think they should trade Calvin Johnson for maybe like a fourth round pick to a team like the Panthers?
I think you'd have to get a current player as well involved, maybe a higher pick, just because they probably would like to see something for a player like
Calvin
Johnson.
Do you know off the top of your head how many years Calvin Johnson has left on his contract?
I don't. I'm pretty sure he was signed with Stafford, though, or something like that. They, like, signed him almost as a group type of thing.
Okay, I'm gonna look up when his contract expires because, I mean, that's what the Jets did last year for I think you're right. I think it would have to be a few draft picks because what I'm looking at is an article from 2012 saying 7-year extension. So that means he signed through 19. I think, yeah, that's interesting actually. And that, I don't know if you do trade him actually.
I mean, that's a long time, but he's already been slowing and like in the, like this year. So I'm worried about his future, honestly. He just doesn't seem to have the jump he used to have and the separation he used to get away from other people. When Stafford used to throw the ball to him, he would go up and make contested catches, but a lot of times he'd just be pretty open down the field because of his speed and size. So we'll see if he can get it back at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be hanging out. When he's 34 years old, they're going to be 34 at wide receiver. That's what it boils down to. Is do you think this guy? I mean, his deal is completely backloaded. That's the other side of it for any team that would go out and want to get him. They have to, instead of like this year, he's making 12.5, and the last year of his contract, he's making $18,250,000. So whatever
That's
team
insane.
Took him on would be taking on the meat of the contract.
Yeah. So that might.
But
I think that they get.
Yeah. So that's what it boils down to. What it boils down to is, do you think he's done? I don't think he's done, but I haven't watched the Lions games that much. His numbers certainly look bad, but, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald had a down year. I know it's been a couple for Calvin, but I wouldn't say he's done. He's still got the size, and he's still got the hands.
That is true. That game against the Seahawks where he fumbled was so brutal, though. I mean, that is
It was.
Terrible.
That was a hell of a play by Cam Chancellor. I mean, this is a ridiculous.
It was a good play by Megatron too, but I mean, he just got caught. I mean, he was trying to reach for the end zone, get and tie the game up or win the game or whatever it was at that time.
Yeah, they would have won the game. It's actually this is a kind of the hyperbole, but Hakeem Nicks at one point, your boy, lost his speed and was done. And he's only 27. He started dropping balls too, but he was when you lose your when you can't separate from people at wide receiver, it's tough to be successful, even if you are big and have great hands like Calvin Johnson does. So,
yeah, that is true. I mean, Hakeem Nicks had huge hands, like one of the biggest in the NFL ever, and he still struggled to kind of hold on to the ball and lost his speed because of a couple foot injuries. I actually have his jersey for the Giants. I got it the year before he got cut. So.
Yeah. Well, that was a good move by the Giants.
Yeah, that was.
Okay. That kind of wraps it up. I expect Jim Caldwell
to
be fired.
Do you
want to
do just one thing about you boned me segment?
You got a guy for it. We still got to come up with a better name for that segment.
Yeah, that is true. Just in general, Andrew Luck plus the Colts. I mean, if anybody else was on the Panthers, the line was moving down before the game. I think a lot of people got on that game. And they were leading by 17, I think, at one point, and the spread was somewhere between 7 or some 5 for some. And, I mean, Andrew Luck comes back, They give you a glimmer of hope in OT that they maybe could get a TD in OT. Obviously, that doesn't happen. So, really bummed me this week.
I thought you were going to go with Brad Wing, your boy, not only for your bet, but for your Giants.
Yeah, that one. The thing about the Giants is I didn't have much take on the Giants. But, Brad Wing was just brutal. I mean, you can't let him get back in field goal range like that. That's just absurd. One of the worst endings to a Giants game in this season, at least, even with all those early losses that we had.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I didn't really have one of those this week that I can think of. Obviously, Andrew Luck kind of fisted me pretty good.
But you had a good week, though. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the games I lost, and the Falcons weren't even close as 7-point favorites. I mean, Bridgewater, that was a tough loss. The Bears were tied pretty late in the game with the Vikings, but nothing really jumps out at me. I guess you could say Andy Dalton, that game-winning touchdown to A.J. Green.
That was tough, yeah.
That was tough, especially because you don't expect it from Dalton. But – that being said, let's move into our picks. Let's get into this Thursday night game. Who are you on?
Tonight? Honestly, you want to check. I'm going to check the line again. So
check the line again. This line's been crazy. Originally, I had Cincinnati, and I like Cincinnati. And it's nothing with the line unless it went up to 14, which isn't crazy the way it's been going. But unless it went up to 2 touchdowns, I'm going to take the Bengals. I think it's a new quarterback in a short week on the road. Disastrous situation all around for Cleveland. I think Cincinnati should run them.
It's at 13 right now. It's tough for me. I think I'm actually going to roll with Cleveland. I got to take the points here. I mean, it's going to be tough for Manziel. I mean, this line's been moving like crazy. It's actually plus 13 even. I might actually take a couple buy points and buy it at 14. But I'm actually thinking that I'm the Cleveland.
I don't hate that move. Generally,
the buy point. They kind of
generally lot, I never buy any points. The only times you do it are if you can buy like a 6 up to a 7 is the only time you should ever buy points. And in this case, 13 up to 14 is kind of the same deal. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
it's
kind of bone you when you buy the points.
It's a lot worse than you would expect. You're like, okay, I'll just pay, like, you know, 20% juice instead of 10%. And it's just like it's always way more money than you're expecting it to be when you buy the points. So I never end up pulling trigger on it. And you're not supposed to, but I can get behind it if you're trying to tease something that's 7, maybe up to 7.5 by a half point. Either they don't hammer you. So I don't hate that move, but I'm on Cincinnati. I think they get off their Manziel. I think Manziel really struggles, and Cincinnati rolls. Next game, Dolphins are going to Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 3 in my book. Who are you on in this game? And just let me know if your line's any different on any of these games.
Okay, yeah, I'm on the Bills for this game. It's also 3 for me. Tyrod Taylor's coming back this week off of an injury. They also had a bye week, so I think he'll be well rested. I think he's going to have some jump in a step. I think playing at home, I think the Bills are going to try and take this division, important division game. I mean, they're both pretty bad right now, but they're not out of it. They could still salvage a season if one of them has to win this game, though, and I think it's going to be the Bills.
Yeah. I went back and listened to our episode last Thursday just because I just – to jerk off to how spot on we were about the Dolphins not being good and looking good against beating up on 2 terrible teams and saying the Patriots were going to roll them, and they rolled them. The Dolphins are not any good. They looked good against 2 terrible teams. They're going up with the Buffalo. Tyrod's back. Sammy Watkins is back. The Bills need to win this game. It's a divisional game. And when the Bills play hard, they can have a really good defense. And Tyrod Taylor is good enough to win this game, no problem. I think they win easily. I love the Bills.
I think that's one of the better bets. I think Tyrod's going to come out and play really well with that bye week and a little time off.
Yep. Okay. Next game, Green Bay going to Carolina. They're favored by 2.5. This is my best bet of the week. I am taking the Carolina Panthers. 62% of the betting public is taking the Packers as road favorites. They were road favorites at Denver last week. I told you Denver was one of my favorite plays. They killed them. Packers have played an easy schedule. Panthers are pretty good. They've got a very good defense. I think that the Packers have a tough time. I think the Panthers win this game outright, and they're 2.5-point dogs. So I'll take the points. I think they're going to win outright, though. Who are you on?
Yeah, I'm also on the Panthers. I'm hoping you get somewhere near 3, but I'll take the 2.5. I'll take the points, obviously. Carolina, I mean, their defense is pretty similar. It's not as good as Denver's, but it's pretty similar. They have a good secondary and good pass rush. I think that Aaron Rodgers looked a little skittish against the Broncos. He didn't play that well. That was a tough game for me. I actually had the Packers last week, but I'm going to listen to you this week from last week, and I'm going to take the Panthers, who are a home favorite, home underdog, and are undefeated. So I'm going to take the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, saying Rodgers didn't look good last week is an understatement. I was at the Mets game, but 72 pass yards. Good God. It's atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, he was struggling bad. That was a tough game for me.
And then the four games they played before Denver, Kansas City Chiefs are garbage. San Francisco 49ers are garbage. St. Louis is all right. We'll say St. Louis is decent. Chargers at home. Chargers are not any good. So they also played Bears this year. So that's, and then Seattle at home when Seattle was struggling and didn't have Cam Chancellor. So if you really look at their schedule, I don't really see an impressive win. So that's why I was looking for something like that to happen on the road at Denver. Now they got to go on the road to another good defense, another undefeated team. I think the Panthers win this game. It's one of my favorite plays of the weekend. Next game, the Rams are going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Who you got?
Yeah, one sec. I just stepped away from my computer for a second. You want to go ahead with this one?
I'll go ahead. So the Rams obviously had an impressive win last week against the Niners. Well, an impressive as a win as you can have against the Niners. I'm pretty sure that my JV high school team could put up a fight against the Niners. But that was another one I was liked and was spot on with was the Rams getting all over Kaepernick and him having a tough game. They dominated. I've been a little late to the Vikings train. The horse has been on it all year. He's beaten me in a couple head-to-heads where we've been opposite sides of the Vikings game. I'm on the Vikings now. They have the fourth best defense in terms of fantasy points, which is obviously very impressive. Should give Foles trouble on the road. They have a great run game. And Bridgewater has shown the ability to manage the game. It's a pick'em game. So I'm going to definitely take the home Vikings here and expect them to win by at least a field goal.
I actually have Minnesota also. They're actually 2-point favorites on my site. So I'm hoping I can get something closer to pick 'em for you, like you have. You have a pick 'em right now?
I believe I got them at a pick 'em. Let me double check. I got them as a 1-point favorite.
Okay, so it went up one, but as long as it stays under 3, I'm going to stay with Minnesota also. AP is a great running back. Todd Gurley has been great, I mean, for the Rams. I mean, he's on my fantasy squad. He's been performing out of his asshole right now. I mean, the guy has fire underneath his feet. He had one big run for 76 yards, but Minnesota's defense is really good, and I think that he's going to struggle a little bit more with this defense. Last week, who did he go up against? It was one of the worst defenses against the run in the league. He was like one.
It was the Niners. They played the Niners last week.
Yeah. And he broke open a run. But I think Minnesota is going to be able to contain him a little bit. I think he'll still get around 100, but nothing too dangerous for them. And I think Minnesota will win this.
Yeah. All right. So we're on the same page. Anything up to a field goal, we're taking the Vikings. Next game, Redskins are going to New England. Who are you on in this one?
Well, I've got that at 14, right? You have that?
I had 15. but somewhere around two touchdowns.
Yeah, I have 14, and I think it's going to keep moving up. I'm going to take the Patriots at home. I mean, you keep seeing it week in and week out. If you think the Patriots aren't going to blow somebody out at home, you're just out of your mind because they want to play well in front of their fans. Their style of play is so difficult to keep up with. Any fourth and one, third and one, Brady's going to sneak for a first down. They got Gronk, obviously, Edelman. Amendola's been starting to play well. I mean, they got Deion Lewis. They just have so much offensive potential that even if they're not covering at one point, they can easily at the end of the game in the second half just keep putting up points if they have a struggling first half. So I'm going to take New England.
I'm also on New England. Completely agree with you. They could be down 14 at the half and win the game by 28. Their offense can produce like that. We've seen it out of Brady all year. He's running away with the MVP halfway through the year. And I don't see any reason that it won't continue this week. I mean, the Redskins are coming off of the Redskins in general have had a really interesting season because they've been in a remarkable number of close football games. They obviously had the OT loss to the Falcons. They had the Kirk Cousins comeback win against the Bucks. So they've been in these situations where they have played team stuff. Jets smoked them. But they beat the Eagles on that game-winning drive by Cousins. They lost to the Giants by one. So they've been in a lot of close games, and their defense isn't bad. Brady's pumping up their defense to be more than it is. They are coming off a bye. I don't think that really matters that much. I don't think they're a good enough – I don't think they're – Kirk Cousins is a guy who's going to flourish with a bye like Peyton Manning would or Rodgers or Brady or Breeze. I think they have a letdown after that Tampa win, even though they've had the bye week, and I think that the Patriots keep doing what they're doing. I mean, the Dolphins, I would say, are a significantly better team than the Redskins, or at least a little bit better. They obviously – the Dolphins beat them at home when they went head-to-head. So – you saw what the Patriots did to the Dolphins who, you know, they granted we just said that they're not very good, but the Redskins aren't very good either. They've played a pretty easy schedule. Their wins are against the Bucks, the Eagles. We've seen now the Falcons aren't that good. Giants are suspect. Dolphins aren't great. Rams are decent. So I expect the Patriots to blow them out in this game. And granted, you never like giving up two touchdowns in an NFL game. But you can't bet against the Patriots because they've only failed to cover the spread one time, and it was against the Colts on a garbage time touchdown. And that was the only time all year they haven't covered the spread. So until they don't look.
And the Jets actually covered on them because of a 55 Nick Folk field goal with 30 seconds remaining, only because they didn't go for the touchdown to kick the extra point. I mean, to kick the onside. But they were going to cover on that one.
Game, even in that game, the closing line was 7. So if you took it right before kickoff,
But also in that game, it was crazy because the Jets were, it's a tough game. I'm sorry to bring it back up, but the Jets were up and they still managed to almost cover their spread. They should have covered their spread, but
That's what we're talking about with them. They can cover the spread at any time, at any second. And I'm not going to stop betting on the Patriots until they give me a reason to, and they certainly haven't so far. So I'm on the Patriots, next game, Titans, going to the Superdome. I'm seeing here, and I've seen a couple different lines on this game. I've seen anything from 7.5 up to 9.5. What is your spread, and who are you on?
Yeah, I've got 7.5. It's a lot of points. I never like when it's over 7, obviously. New Orleans at home, I'm going to take them just because of how dominant they are. Their offense went off. Their defense obviously did. The game against the Giants, it was so tough. But, the offenses were going crazy. Odell had 3 TDs. I think Willie Snead, who actually boned me, had 2 TDs on New Orleans. I left him on my fantasy bench. But New Orleans' offense is looking good, looking better. I'm thinking that Drew Brees' arm might be getting a little more adapted to playing every week. And so I'm going to take New Orleans at home.
Yeah, I'd say Breeze's arm looked all right against you guys last week.
Yeah, the guy lit us up fucking 50.
Threw 500-plus yards, 7 touchdowns. So I'm also on the Saints. So we're – that's actually interesting. because now the first, other than the Thursday night game, the first five games we talked about, we've been on the same side, and we've been on the home team in every game, which I like that. I'm glad we're on the same page. I'm on the Saints. I would be on the Saints anything up to 10 points. I think they're a decent football team. Their defense obviously looked like absolute trash last week against the Giants, but Mettenberger and the Titans is not Eli and the Giants. You're not going to have an Odell torch you. Like I said earlier, since week one, they haven't won a game and they haven't had a skill position guy get over 100 yards. So that for the Saints defense will make it a much easier task. And their offense, I don't see them having any problems scoring the ball. I think they win this game pretty easily, even though it is a fairly big spread for a team that hasn't looked amazing. But I'm with you there. Jaguars are 7.5-point dogs going to MetLife Stadium to take on the Jets. The Jets, I am pretty good at betting the Jets. Obviously, last week I lost. But the Jets being favored by more than a touchdown here is crazy. It's crazy. We thought at one point we were going to have to start like Tebow or Flynn or Bryce Petty. Fitzpatrick's starting, but he's got ligament damage in his left hand. It's going to make it difficult for him to go under center. We got stomped by the Raiders. We had to go out to the West Coast, have to come back. And the Jaguars are coming off a bye. So I don't understand this spread. I won't bet. I'm not going to bet on the Jaguars because I'm not going to bet against my team, but I'm certainly not going to take the Jets. My advice to anyone listening to this is take the Jags with the touchdown.
Yeah, I have +7.5 for the Jags. I'm all over Jacksonville. I mean, the Jets didn't look that good last week. Granted, the Oakland Raiders are looking better and better each week. They're a tough place to play away. Obviously, it's a tough place. I mean, they play on a baseball field, basically. But I think Jacksonville is going to be able to move the ball on the Jets a little bit. The defense did not look as good against Oakland, and I think Jacksonville's going to lose this game in a close one, but only by a field goal.
Yeah, I think they lose in a close one as well. And, I mean, it was kind of the perfect storm for the Jets because it is tough to go from East Coast to West Coast like that, and the defense clearly just came out really flat. And then when you factor in having to go with a backup quarterback who hasn't played a snap all year, it's a disastrous situation. I'm not surprised at all that we lost that game. I think if Fitzpatrick plays the whole game, it's a little bit different story. Maybe the defense gets some life if we're in the game. It's tough to be motivated when you get down that fast on the road. So I'm not saying – I don't think this Jets season's over by any means. If someone were to call in and ask if I think they are going to make the playoffs, I would still say that we would. But this is a game, I think, with Jacksonville coming off a bye and the Jets being uncertain about their quarterback throughout the week, and you have a lot of guys injured. Even if they go, it's like you don't know if Mangold's going to go. You don't know if Fitzpatrick's going to go. You don't know if Geno Smith is even going to be able to go. Calvin Pryor's out. So there's a lot of question marks in the Jets camp. It's not easy to win like that in the NFL. And the cherry on top for me is the Jags coming off the bye. So I'm all over the Jags +7.5 in this one. Next game, Oakland is going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is favored by 4.5. Who are you on?
What is your spread on this one? I have Pittsburgh this week. They had a tough loss at home. I was on them against the Bengals. but Ben Roethlisberger's back again. Antonio Brown for the first week had more than 10 targets since Ben was out. I think that they're going to get their chemistry together. Pittsburgh's one of the toughest places to play in the league. Oakland is obviously a good team this year. I did not expect them to be this good, but I think it's going to be tough going into Big Ben's place, and I think that Pittsburgh rolls through with a touchdown win.
Let me tell you something about Oakland. I watched that Jets game. Oakland is very good. They're a very good team. Their biggest problem in this game is having to fly across the country, and that's always a big deal for me. I probably make too big of a deal out of it. I'm on the Raiders. I think their offense is underrated. They've got a great O-line. The Raiders' highest-paid player on offense is their center. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the league, but they've made a point of making their O-line, bolstering their O-line, making it pretty good. It is good. Jets got no pressure on Carr, and he picked us apart. I don't see – if the Jets couldn't, I don't think there's any shot the Steelers can. I think Oakland has a chance to win this game on the road. I'm not saying they will, but this spread, I think, should have been more like a field goal. So I'm expecting this to be a field goal game, so I'm going to go with the Raiders at the 4.5.
Okay.
Next game is Atlanta is traveling to San Fran, and they are 7.5-point favorites. I'm on San Fran in this one. Everyone and their brother is betting on the Falcons in this one. 70% of the betting public. That's a bigger number than you usually see in an NFL game, almost ever. They're favored by more than a touchdown on the road, traveling across the country. San Francisco is going to be starting Gabbert, so it won't surprise me if they lose. And it wouldn't surprise me if they lose big. Falcons have looked terrible. They lost to the Bucks last weekend at home. The Bucks are terrible. The Falcons almost lost to the Redskins at home. They beat the Titans by 3.
Yeah.
So them being favored by 7.5 points, I don't know if you have it at 7.5, but I do. That's crazy to me. San Francisco, I think this is a game they keep very close. This could be a game that the Falcons lose. I mean, obviously, a couple weeks ago, you would have said I was crazy, but they got kind of hammered by the Falcons, or they got kind of hammered by the Bucks last weekend at home. Now you're telling me they're favored by more than a touchdown with a trip across the country? I'll take my chances with a backup QB. Maybe those Niner guys who wrote the letters in got their wish. Maybe those guys play a little harder.
Yeah, so I'm actually against you on this one. I completely think the same way as you do on this game. But I think that Atlanta, after that really tough loss and a bad week against the Titans, 10-7 win, 10 points only for that offense is crazy with Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones. I think that they're going to come out and try and prove something, prove that they're one of the top teams in the league again, which they were a couple weeks ago before these two questionable games. I think that they're going to roll them. I think that they're going to win by 2 touchdowns. I've been on the Falcons all year. I'm still going to keep going with them one more week.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm telling you it's the time. It's been time to jump off for a couple weeks now. I was on the Saints against them a couple weeks ago when they lost in the Superdome. I think their Falcons are in some trouble. Giants, Bucks, I'll let you take the lead with this one to talk about your G-men.
Well, I mean, offense looked great. For the first time, Landon Collins really looked out of place. The rookie from Alabama just got torched for, I think, 150 yards. What's that guy's name on the Saints? That their new tight end. Fuck, I actually picked him on
Watson?
The fantasy. Yeah, Benjamin Watson. Ben Watson had like 147 on us with a couple TDs. A couple of times, the defense was just looking lost. But I mean, the offense looked great. I'm hoping that translates to this game. I think Tampa Bay is going to have a letdown from their big win. In Atlanta, I think the Giants are going to win by more than 2.5. It's at 2.5 right now, which I love. I know it's on the road, but it's not the furthest trip. Tampa Bay is not the furthest trip from New York, and I think New York's going to win this one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with your logic. I agree with the aspect of a potential hangover after that win against the Falcons. The thing is, for me, the Bucks. First of all, my go-to move, I know you, and I know now if you've listened to a couple episodes, you know I love doing this. You got 66% of the betting public is on the Giants, and I love going against the betting public, which makes me like the Bucks. Another thing is they actually haven't been that bad the last 3 weeks. I mean, they beat the Jags. And then they had that tough loss to the Skins. But then they went on the road and beat the Falcons. I don't know. I think – I don't know why, because all my logic and what you were saying makes sense to me, that the Giants are the play. The Giants have to win. The Bucks are 3-4, though, so they're not out of it yet. I'm going to take the Bucks here, but I can't – really even articulate why. Most of it is everyone loving the Giants.
It yeah, kind it's of seems like a good luck to bet against the betting public. Because, I mean, usually Vegas tries to just bone the majority, obviously. But we'll see what they do. But I think the Giants are going to win this one. And also, I'm a Giants fan, so there's no way I can bet against them. So that, I'm a little biased on it. But
it seems like a sucker line to me.
The 2.5?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the, at the end of the day, just the Giants haven't been that good, and they're on the road against a 3-4 team. So I guess, I mean, it's not a sucker line, but I think the Bucs might surprise some people. The thing is, the Giants' defense last week, anemic. It's like I don't see any reason that the Bucs can't score on them. And, I mean, the Bucs obviously – are going to be able to do a better job than the Saints did at stopping the pass game. So I'm on the Bucks. Next game, Denver going to Indianapolis. Peyton Manning returning to his former squad as a 5-point favorite, and you got 67% of the betting public taking the Broncos and Peyton Manning, and I am going to be one of those 67% because I am on the Broncos. Their pass rush is going to kill Andrew Luck. Their offensive line is garbage. I think that those that Ware and Von Miller are all over Luck, quarterback who's thrown the most interceptions in the league over the past like 15 games or so. And then that just means that Harris, Tlaib, and Roby are picking balls off. Maybe they'll take one to the house. Setting Peyton Manning up with great field position early and often, and I think they cruise in this game and make the Colts look really bad in a game that's going to be going on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm also on Denver on this one. I think that Peyton, it's going to play even more to Peyton's advantage playing in the dome than it will for Luck. I think Luck's going to struggle again. He looked awful in the game. He ended up burning me, but in the first half, first three quarters, I mean, it was torrential downpour, but he's making really bad decisions and throwing the ball in the windows that you shouldn't. I think Denver's going to roll them. Indianapolis, just I think their season is looking worse and worse by the week, and Denver's defense is just so strong.
It is. It really is. Next game, the Eagles are going to Dallas. Last week I gave you the Cowboys for your life, told you before the show, talked about it on the show, Cowboys against the Seahawks last week, I was all over it, loved the Cowboys. They had a chance to win the game. They were almost, what were they, like 5-point dogs or some 3.5, 4-point dogs in that game? I gave you the, yeah, I mean, when the line opened, it was at 7. It ended up being around 4.5. I gave you the Cowboys for your life. Best bet I wanted all weekend. And this weekend, again, this game is one of my favorite games. I love the Cowboys. Again, they're a tremendously underrated team. Vegas undervalues them week in, week out because of their quarterback situation. But this team wins games at the line of scrimmage. This Eagles defense is going to have a very hard time stopping the run with this Cowboys O-line. I think they're giving the Cowboys points as the home team is a big mistake by Vegas here. I'm all over the Cowboys. And another thing, 60% of the betting public taking the Eagles. Love it. It was just like last week. Everyone was pounding the Seahawks. No. Cowboys are not that bad, and they cover spreads because they're undervalued by Vegas. And they went outright in this one. And their 2.5-point dogs could go end up, because everyone's hammering the Eagles, could end up over a field goal by kickoff.
Yeah, I'm seeing 2.5. I'm on Dallas also. I'm hoping to get it at 3.5 later. I think that their offensive line is just incredible. Tyron Smith is the best offensive lineman, left tackle in the league. The man is a monster rolling out. When he's one of the only tackles I see that rolls out on sweep plays or running plays. He's like a pulling guard, except he's 6'8 and 320 pounds. I think that Dallas can just move the ball really well. I mean, on the ground. I mean, they don't what they need from their quarterback, and I think it's Castle this week, right?
Yeah.
I think they just need a game manager who just can't throw the ball away. I mean, you give Dez a couple opportunities one-on-one. I mean, you probably won't see Dez one-on-one that often. Actually, you might because of how much Dallas is planning to run the ball. But I also think Philadelphia is just not that good of a team. I actually hate both of these teams, so I would like both to lose. But I think Dallas is going to win this one at home.
Yep. Same page. And then we got an absolute stinker in the Monday night game with the Bears going to San Diego. San Diego's favored by 4. I am on the San Diego Chargers this week. I think Phillip Rivers is very good. I think that the Chargers are a much better team than the Bears. Not that that's saying a lot because the Bears are terrible. Even though I've been on them a decent amount. I mean, when you look at the teams the Chargers have played, the Bengals on the road, the Vikings on the road, the Steelers, the Packers on the road, the Raiders, that's one of the toughest schedules of any team in the league. And that being said, they've only won 2 games, but I think their team is actually not that bad. They played a close game with the Steelers. They lost to the Packers on the road by a touchdown. They lost by 5. It's on the road at Cincinnati. So this team is not one of the bottom dwellers of the league. The Bears, however, are. I think the Chargers route the Bears in this game.
Yeah, I'm actually on the Chargers also. This game is a garbage game for a Monday night game. Again, seems to be getting terrible games week in and week out, honestly, in the primetime games. I mean, the Colts game against the Panthers ended up being kind of interesting at the end. But I'm on San Diego. I think that they're a much better team than Chicago. It's going to be tough for Chicago going all the way to San Diego. It's a really long flight. San Diego is a good team. I think they don't get the credit they deserve. Woodhead is a great option out of the backfield. Receiving halfbacks are one of the biggest things in the league now coming around. You can see it on the Patriots. The Giants have it. So I think San Diego is going to win this by a lot. I'm not interested at all in this game other than the fact that I'm a complete degenerate and will be watching just because I'm going to throw some cash on it.
Exactly. I mean, it's like if you put a football game on, I'll watch it. I don't care who it is. It's like I hate those hardos that are like, oh, well, this game sucks. Like, I'm not even going to watch. It's like, all right, well, then sack up and lay some cake on the line and watch. I watched the entire Northern Illinois Toledo game on Tuesday night. Won a bunch of hay on Northern Illinois. Biggest lock of the year. So, all right.
Yeah, some of the more questionable moves, like some of the more questionable games that are less interesting are actually the better ones to bet. I mean, the Super Bowl is one of the more sucker bets because, I mean, the odds makers are just all over it. I mean, they're just so spot on usually.
Yep. I totally agree. So this week, my best bet, the Bills' best bet, some good alliteration for you, is the Panthers plus 2.5 at home against the Green Bay Packers. Do you have a best bet this week?
I was actually going to go with the San Diego game, even though it's one of the least interesting games. I think San Diego is one of my better locks, and I also really like the Bills at home. That's one of my locks also.
Okay, so your horse best bets are the Chargers and the Bills, and the Bills' best bet is the Panthers, secondary best bet being the Cowboys. And in both those games, Horace and I are on the same side, so if you're looking to load up on games, start looking at the Bills, start looking at the Panthers, start looking at the Cowboys, and start looking at the Chargers. That's it for the show this week. I'll run through the picks one more time. Tonight, we're on different sides, but we're both on the Bills, -3. We're both on the Panthers, +2.5. We're both on the Vikings in a game that's probably going to be hopefully under a field goal, but it looks like Vikings babying by 2. Both on the Patriots, both on the Saints, both on the Jags, both on the Broncos, both on the Cowboys, and both on the Chargers. that's it for the show this week. Thanks for tuning in.
Five bananas, you be, you be an animal too. If you were trapped in this fame and caged in it like a zoo, and everybody's looking at you, what you want me to do? I'm starting to live like a recluse, and the truth, the fame starting to give me an excuse to be at an all-time low. I sit alone in my home theater watching a the same.